We've entitled our study this afternoon, Is Good Good Enough? I will tell you that in the world, good to the world is basically minding your own business, obeying the laws of the land when it comes to criminality, respecting your neighbor's property, to us out here in the panhandle, good's means a little bit more in a general sense. It means that your neighbor may, help you out in small ways. But I would ask you to consider what does that mean to you? Because man's definition of good is not God's definition of good. We're going to read a little bit about the servants of the Lord. Over there in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, each and every person here has been given a lot of talents by the Lord. We know, and traveling around with Sean this year, I've seen young people in the church that have just taken the talents that the Lord has given them, and they've dedicated themselves to that, strengthening those talents and multiplying those talents. Two people that come to mind directly off the top of my head would be young Tayton. I mean, this youngster, he gets baptized in the morning, and that afternoon he's leading songs. I think about Ian Jones. Now, a lot of y'all didn't know Ian when he was a kid. Ian Jones was a rascal. I mean, he was Dennis the Menace, wasn't he, Tim? but those talents that he has, look at what he's done with them. What a powerful man of God. And how much good he's done with those talents. Those are the two people that just right off the top of my head when I think about young people and talents come to mind. We'll continue there in verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. It's somewhat humorous looking back on it. But when I was a young man, we didn't have anybody like like David around, what I like to do is I like to hang around and go to the bathroom or sit out in the car or come in late so I wouldn't have to lead songs. I didn't like it. It was embarrassing to me. We didn't have anybody like David over there that would save a song for the last person that come through the door and say, hey, you got the first or second song. We didn't have that. But on a serious note, this individual, by man's standards, was not a bad individual. But by God's standards, he had been given a talent and he had set on it. That's what he had done. Let's see here. Pick up in verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What kind of a servant are you? Are you fruitful? There's a difference between, like Joe hit on this morning, there's a difference between abstaining from sin, standing up and fighting against sin, and taking positive action in the world, and trying to make a difference, letting the Lord work through you to affect people. Matthew 3, verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We can't just abide by the laws of the land, pay our taxes, be good neighbors as far as respecting people's property and not sticking our nose in their business. We can't just come to church on Sunday. We have to bring forth fruit. Because when we don't bring forth fruit, it is sin. We know. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now this is one, probably it is, the greatest positive work that any of us here can do. We're talking about saving souls. We're talking about saving beings from eternal punishment. That is the greatest positive work that we can do with the Lord working through us. I ask you, have you ever tried to do that? Do you have family members that haven't accepted Jesus? They haven't confessed his name. They haven't been baptized. Do you have friends, acquaintances? I do. And it is our responsibility and our duty to speak to these people. I remember a sermon that Zane gave a couple of months ago where he was talking about probably the biggest regret he had ever had in his life, that he had the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, talk to him about God, and he didn't. Man, I've done that so many times. What a shame. What a lost opportunity. Can one person really make a difference? How many of y'all know that fella? That's my great-grandfather. And I knew my great-grandfather. I used to get sent down to his house to keep him company. And Pop, he quit smoking. And instead of smoking, he had a big old bowl of candy corn he kept on his table. And he would eat that candy corn to keep him from smoking. And I remember going down there and keeping company and listening to him tell stories and joshing with me and what have you. And the things I'm about to tell you is very few of them were gathered from him because I was too young to actually remember great detail about things he had told me. But it's things that I've gathered from other family members and from actually off the internet and from a little book that our great uncle wrote. You know, Pop's dad, he was not a good man. He was a very lustful man. He had three different families, several illegitimate children. And Pop, that's how Pop, I mean, you know, Pop did not grow up as a Christian that had, you know, he hadn't obeyed the gospel. Now, evidently, he had a little bit of knowledge about the Bible. He had read some of it. Anyway, he married Minnie, my great-grandmother, when he was 20 years old. And the first 2 years of their lives, he had two plows, two hand plows, and four horses. They lived in various tents and shacks and were happy. He hunted at night for skins, and that's how he provided for his family. They didn't go to church. They didn't have a relationship with God. And you know, he made a decision to pack up and come up here to this country, up here to the panhandle. He packed up his wagon, his family, his horses. He had one little pony. And they came out here and landed out here by Wellington. Well, when they drove up, they ran into an individual called, his name was John Davenport. And John asked him, he said, "Are you looking for work?" And Pop told him, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I got some work for you." So they took him out to a shack, old cotton picker shack on Davenport's property. Well, Pop was a hard worker. He got up early. He put them horses to work. And he usually put in long days. He'd plow 2 acres a day with that hound plow. And John Davenport would make a habit of coming in there about 10:30 in the morning. He'd tell him, he'd say, "Dave, don't you think it's about time them horses need to rest?" And, you know, Pop would let them horses rest. And John Davenport would get over there and he'd open up that Bible while they were sitting there taking a snack or a drink of water. And he would discuss with him the matters of salvation. He would discuss with him the fact that Jesus Christ came down to this earth and died for the sins of the world, hung upon the cross, and was buried and arose. That's what John Davenport talked to Pop about. I'm going to read you a little excerpt out of this book. "In the spring, Mr. Davenport would bring his Bible to the field about 10 a.m. and say to Daddy, 'Dave, don't you think the horses need a rest?' They then would discuss the church and salvation. The church and salvation. And I was privileged to sit and listen. In the evenings, Daddy would read his Bible and to prove Mr. Davenport wrong. Boy, don't that sound like a Dukes? Huh? He was going to prove to Mr. Davenport. What was he going to prove? He was going to prove that, you know, you didn't need to follow the steps of the Bible to achieve salvation. You didn't have to follow God's word. That's what Pop was going to prove him wrong. Because Pop had been taught that these things weren't required to have a relationship with God. This he could never do. These studies resulted in my mother and father being baptized August 13th, 1923. As I look back into my life, I see Mr. Davenport as the one man in the flesh to whom I feel the most gratitude. I thank God for this grand old man and his influence upon my family's progress and well-being. At this point in time began our growth in knowledge and grace of the Lord, surpassed anything we could have hoped. Our lifestyle changed for the better. We began to make friends and began a fellowship with those in the community. No longer were we living just for that day. But we had a purpose, a destiny, and a will to follow wherever the Lord led. My great uncle, Jim, thanked that godly man that with the Lord's power turned his daddy's life around. Just think about this. This one man following God's command to spread the gospel. I want you to think about every person here that descended from Dave Dukes. If you're married to a Dukes, if you've been affected in any way in a godly manner, I thank the Lord for John Davenport. Yes, sir. Because where would we be if the Lord hadn't used him, if he hadn't taken that action? I hate to think about it. Because I think I'd have probably ended up face down the ditch somewhere. That's what I believe. I'd like to say one more thing about the influence that you can have as an individual. You know, you think about that one person who brought God's word to you, that God used in that fashion. Well, he can use you too. If you're willing to work for him, he will put you to work. And it's essential. It's essential. I think about what if many years ago when I was at rock bottom, I'm thinking about what if Sean Zeebock had never shared with me the study of the prodigal son. You can affect people. And it's your duty to do this. You know, the one thing that held me back many times from sharing the gospel with people when I had opportunity to do it the good message. Let's just define the gospel real quick. In Greek, the evangelion, excuse my pronunciation, means the good news. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, this is going to explain what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, it's not the New Testament. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is what we stand on. Now, I'll tell you that the reason I wouldn't, when I failed to share those things in the past, was because the people that I hang around, you know, hung around society, they'd make fun of you, you know. They'd call you a holy roller or a Bible thumper. I wonder how many times people have called David, Garland, and Bevard. How many times do you think people called them a Bible thumper? I tell you that, that's a badge of honor. And I'll tell you, John Davenport shared with Pop the fact that you had to hear unto salvation. You had to hear that Christ suffered on that cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. You had to hear that. You had to believe it. You had to repent of your old ways. Turn from it. You had to confess unto salvation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And finally, to complete the process, you had to be baptized into Christ, washed in his blood. That's what John Davenport shared with Pop. And Pop tried to prove him wrong. And Pop failed in that purpose. Praise God. Now I ask you, what would have happened if somebody would have come along and reinforced Pop's general idea of what it meant to be saved? What if somebody with a silver tongue and a fancy car and a big church house would have shared with him the sinner's prayer? What would have happened? Pop was kind of hard-headed, but since he already kind of believed this, I don't know if he would have challenged it. What if Mr. Davenport would have told him, just accept the Lord into your heart? You see, it's our duty and it's our privilege to share the Word of God. Not our idea of the Word of God, the Word of God. I tell you, we shall be held accountable. Matthew chapter 23, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to one of thee least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. If you ain't heard the gospel, the good news, you heard it today. If you ain't obeyed the gospel, ain't no time like today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you're good to the standard of good that the world holds, then you ain't good at all.